Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, this has been a horrible summer for Daily. We have made national and international news for three big events. First, on May 25th, there was that KKK rally downtown. 2 days later, on May 27th, a bunch of tornadoes ripped through this area. And then last Sunday, on August 4th, there was that mass shooting in the Oregon District. What a mess. We try to be hashtag Dayton strong, but sometimes it's hard. Right? Our hearts are breaking. Enough is enough already. And let's be honest, sometimes it's hard to trust God in all this too. We want to know why things happened. We want to know where God was in the midst of them. We want to have answers. But sometimes there are no answers. Sometimes there is no why. Sometimes there's no good reason for why horrible things happen. They just do. Sin, death, and evil make their presence known, and when they do, we feel lonely and defeated and afraid. And so it seems appropriate to me that on this particular Sunday, when we're a week out from our most recent tragedy, that we get this conversation of Abram and God from Genesis 15. It begins like this. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. Okay, stop. First of all, after what things? And what is Abram afraid of? All right, yes, he has not had to deal with a KKK rally or deadly tornadoes or a mass shooting, but he was still afraid. And this text still connects to what's going on here in Dayton. So we need to back up a little bit in the text to see what's going on. It was only three chapters ago that Abram first appeared on the scene. At the start of Genesis 12, God called him and said, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Abram then drops everything and follows. There's no protest, there's no questioning. And there's also no backstory as to who Abram is or why God chose him. The text just moves along, saying that Abram went with the Lord as the Lord had told him. So, taking his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, they set out. They had some trouble in Egypt, but then they got very wealthy. Abram and Lot had to separate because they had so much stuff. Then Lot got captured and Abram rescued. So those are the events of after these things. But what's Abram afraid of? Right, there's been no major tragedy, so to speak. But maybe Abram's afraid that God isn't going to make good on God's promise. Because honestly, a lot of things have happened since Genesis 12. A lot of time has gone by. And Abram doesn't seem to be any closer to the fulfillment of the promise, to being a father to a great nation and a blessing to the world, than he was when he started. Right? So far, all that Abram has seen is family struggle. So God's promise sounds great, but it doesn't seem real or practical. And we know that feeling too. All right, we come here on Sunday mornings. We hear the scripture readings. We hear God's promises. We're fed by word and sacrament. But then we leave this place. And we go back out into a world that's full of struggle. We go back to our daily lives where people proclaim hate, where storms destroy our homes, and where violence rips apart our lives. So like Abram, we hear God's promise and it sounds wonderful, but sometimes we wonder if it's really true. A lot of time goes by and a lot of events happen from one Sunday to the next. We often wonder if God will make good on the promises we've heard. Or maybe they're just a bunch of empty words. And so we complain to God, just like Abram did. Abram said to God, "O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Right, Abram, this famous patriarch, this one who by the name of Abraham will be the father of the faith, he doubts God. Right? God promised him all of these descendants and all these blessings. God promised him all these great and wonderful things, but what does Abram really have? Nothing. Except a slave boy who will be his heir. Or so he thinks. Right? God's words don't seem to amount to much in Abram's real daily life. And what do we have? We have selfishness deeply rooted in the human heart. We have homes and lives that will take years to rebuild. We have families and communities that are grieving. And so part of us wants to be like Abram and yell to God. "Hey God, you made all these great promises to us, but have you seen our real lives lately? Have you seen what's happening here? How are we supposed to trust you when it seems like you aren't really doing anything? All that we have is this broken world. All we have is our equivalent of Eliezer of Damascus. Where's the fulfillment of your promise?" But the word of the Lord came to Abram. "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue shall be your heir." He brought Abram outside and said, "Look towards the heaven and count the stars, if you're able to count them." Then he said, "So shall your descendants be." God responds to Abram's complaint by upping the ante on the promise. Right? God tells him that Abram's descendants, of which he has none so far, will be as countless as the stars in the sky. It is a greater promise. And to Abram, it could sound like a greater disappointment. But by having Abram look at the stars, God is also telling him this. "Abram, do you see those stars? I created this vast universe. I keep the galaxies spinning. I keep the planets moving. I keep the stars shining. There are so many intricate parts to this creation, and it's all in my care. I look after all of it. I also created you. So why would you think that I don't care for you? If I can set the sun and moon in their places, if I can direct the course of shooting stars, if I can expand this universe beyond what you can see and imagine, why would you think that I don't care for you? Do you think I'm only focused on the big picture of the galaxy? And so I don't notice the little details of your specific life? Do you think I'm not there with you in the midst of your problems? Please. I'm God. I'm the ultimate multitasker. Nothing escapes my notice, including your fears and your doubts and your worries. So look to the stars. If I can take care of them, then I'll take care of you too. Think back to what we heard last week when we were at the park. Jesus told his disciples, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? Or consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Sometimes it's hard for us to trust God. Whether we're looking at the stars or at the birds or at the lilies. But let me remind you of something important. God's faithfulness to us is not dependent upon our ability to trust it. Let me repeat that. God's faithfulness to us is not dependent upon our ability to trust it. God's faithfulness to us is dependent upon God's love for us, which, unlike our trust, never fails. Well, today, gazing at the stars might not help us to trust God. So I encourage you to direct your eyes elsewhere, to the cross. You might leave this place and completely forget the readings. You might forget what I said. You might forget the promises you've heard. But that's why we still see crosses everywhere. To remind us that God is faithful. To remind us that God is with us in our suffering. To remind us that God is the one who brings new life, even out of the worst situations. So, for example, yes, there was a KKK rally in Dayton on May 25th. But only 9 people showed up to the rally, compared to the over 600 who showed up for a counter-protest to proclaim peace and love. Yes, tornadoes ripped through Dayton on May 27th. But groups like Lutheran Disaster Response are still at work, helping people to rebuild and reminding them that they are not alone. And yes, there was a mass shooting in the Oregon District last Sunday. But there are people like Greg Zanis who remind us of God's love. Zanis lives in Illinois. And as soon as he heard the news of the shooting here in Dayton, he built memorial markers for the victims and drove them out here. What shape were the markers? Crosses, of course. Zanis says, when you have a choice to either follow anger or follow love, I say let's follow love and love each other. And Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. In times of fear, God is still faithful. Abram had to look at the stars to be reminded of that. And we look to the cross. Even if our summer has been horrible, God is still good. Or as they say, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. In the name of the one who always brings new life, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.